Good morning, everybody. My name is Clayton, and I'm the lead pastor here at Central. I'm glad you guys are with us today. If you're watching online, thanks for doing that as well. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Colossians. We're going to be there in the New Testament this morning. And let me just start off by asking a question. Have you ever done something that was just really stupid? All the guys in the room? Yes, you've done that. I promise you, you've done that. Well, several years ago, I was in Colorado on vacation, and some of my buddies were like, hey, let's go mountain bike riding, okay? And I'm like, okay, it'd be awesome. We'll just kind of take a leisurely, you know, thing through the mountains. And they say, no, you need like a helmet, first aid kit, like safety stuff. I mean, you need like a really good bike with disc brakes and everything. And it's we're gonna go 10 miles up in the mountains, and it is just straight downhill the entire way. Like there's no pedaling at all. I'm like, let's do this. Let's go. I mean, we're just total amateurs. We have no idea what we're doing, but let's go do it. So buddies, we get up there, and it wasn't a mile into it, and one of my friends, he just you know, eats it over the handlebars and into a creek with rocks, and he gets up and he's like, I'm fine, and his wrist is like pointed the other way, and he looks down his wrist and he just passes out. And we're like, what are we gonna do? Like, oh, this is a bad situation. And so for 9 miles, we had to walk him down with our bikes up all the way down, and his wrist was just shattered. It was really bad. And so fast forward a year later, and my friend says, let's go do it again. And I'm like, yes, let's do it. And because I'm an idiot. And so we went up there and we did it again. And let me just tell you, it was awesome. Like, we actually made it all the way down. No one died or got hurt. But it was just, I mean, it was straight downhill, just as fast as you could go. I mean, it was just crazy. It was incredible. It was a fun ride. And I just been thinking about that as a church. You know, we have these seasons in our lives, and especially as a church, where it's a fun ride. And I feel like we're just in one of those right now, where it's just kind of a joy to be a part of this. We're blessed in so many ways. I'm super thankful for this church and what God is doing in and through us. And it actually reminds me of the book of Colossians, because this church in Colossae was kind of dealing with the same things. And Paul and Timothy write to this church and said, hey, guys, don't forget, be the church. I mean, be who God has called you to be, and let your hearts, he says, let your hearts be ruled by the fact and the reminder that God, he loves you, that there is so much love that God has for you. And so be unified together, love one another, have peace together, be thankful in all circumstances. But the big question I have for us today is this: how does the church express that? How does the church actually express what's actually on our hearts? You know, when we were mountain biking, one of the smartest things we did, besides a lot of stupid things, is we put a GoPro on our bikes. And so we had all that experience recorded. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to show everybody. It's going to be all over YouTube, millions of views. Everybody's going to love this. And I took it home, and I showed my kids and my wife, and they were like, eh. You're like, no, seriously, this is awesome. And you're thinking, I knew I was going faster than that, than what it shows on there. But, you know, like, the experience is different than trying to express it, and trying to show someone later. It just always doesn't always compute the same way. And other people that didn't get to experience it, it's hard for them to kind of understand that. Well, in the book of Colossians, we read about what it looks like to actually express ourselves in a way that can be understood. In fact, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, here's what it says. It says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through, get this, through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. It says, this is how you express yourself, by singing songs about God. Well, in the Old Testament, there were this group of songs. It's actually found in the book of Psalms. It's Psalms 120 to 135. These 15 songs that were called the songs of ascent, meaning going up. And what they were used for is for the Hebrew people, God's people, when they were going to Jerusalem, three times a year they were supposed to go to Jerusalem during these festivals and to worship the Lord. And so they would sing these songs on the road. They were kind of like a pilgrim's playlist, so to speak. And that's what we're calling this series, a group of songs that they would use to prepare themselves to be in God's presence and to worship him. In fact, Jesus would have sang these songs when he was growing up. His family would have taken him every year to the temple in Jerusalem, and they would go from Nazareth to Jerusalem, and they would, as they were going up towards Jerusalem, which was higher elevation, they would be singing these songs over and over again to prepare themselves and remind themselves of what God had done for them. Well, in the Bible, God's people had their songs. And for the last 2,000 years, Christians of every different generation has had their different songs that they have used to prepare themselves to be in God's presence. And as a church, we need songs that remind us of the mission that God has called us to as we're on this journey of walking with Him. And today, Central, we do have that. We have what we like to call a playlist of songs that we use here in this place to focus our hearts and get us prepared to worship God and point our hearts in the right place. Direction. And this month, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be looking at five core songs that we sing here at Central together and how they point us to God and to His Word. You see, these songs, they're not authoritative, okay? These songs aren't scripture themselves, but they're like arrows pointing us to God and arrows pointing us to the Word of God. Another way to think of it is this. The songs we sing together are our playlist into God's presence. They're the playlist that we have to be able to sing songs and get us prepared and bring us into God's presence. It's important to understand why we sing what we sing and how these songs actually lead us to the Lord. And so today, we're going to look at one song. And it's a song that you actually just sang, and it's called King of Heaven. Now, I don't know if you're one of those people that, you know, turn on the radio and you listen to music, and I mean, there's worship music's different than like country music or any other kind of like secular music. Worship music kind of brings you; it kind of focuses your attention not on yourselves, but on the Lord. And I don't know if you've heard this song on the radio. It's a really popular song. Actually, it's not. In fact, this song was written by us. King of Heaven, the song that you sang just a few moments ago, was actually written by Ryland, Mel and Kara, who's on the worship team, and they got together a year ago and started writing this song that you guys have sang a couple times if you've been here, and we sang it this morning earlier, this song called King of Heaven. And I was talking to Ryland about it, and I just said, hey man, do you realize that no other church on the planet is singing this song? Like, we're the only ones. Because no one knows about it, okay? I mean, it's just our song, and I love that. And songwriting is pretty interesting. In fact, Ryland recorded a little bit of their process, and I want you to see just a short clip of it.
So we're talking about like our offering and our lives. It's like all things are through Him before Him. Mm-hmm. Okay, this Colossians 1:16, I throw it out there. What about like 3/4? And all things are through.
Yep. I like that. Sing that again, then.
Rollins, like, his contribution was, yep, and I like it. No, it's actually more than way more than that. But that's awesome. It's kind of cool to be able to, I don't know if you can hear what Mel was saying, but she was saying, look, God's word says this. In fact, it's something important to remember that worship here at Central is just an echo of scripture, okay? It's not something outside of scripture. It's not something we want to add to scripture. It's saying, what does God's word have to say about the Lord, and how do we express that in such a way that we can come into God's presence? In the book of Colossians, Paul and Timothy, if we flip over back to chapter 1, Paul and Timothy are writing to this church, and they pretty much say in Clayton's translation, look, hey guys, don't forget just how good God is. Don't forget how much He loves you. Don't forget how much joy there is about being in His presence and belonging to Him. Never forget that. And then in verse 13, they explain why we should never forget that. Okay, here's what it says in Colossians 1:13. It says, He has rescued us from the domain of darkness, and He's transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. So it says, hey, look, God has done something for you. The reason we should worship him. The reason we should never forget what he's done for us is because of these things. He says that he has rescued us and transferred us. Okay, so let's look at it real quick. So it says he. Who's he talking about? Let's talk about God the Father, okay? God the Father has this plan for every single one of our lives. And to make it simple, God's plan is to rescue you from something and to transfer you into something else. Well, what is it? Well, he wants to rescue you from what it says, the domain of darkness. What is that? Well, the domain of darkness is simply that where sin is the master, and where a terrible life of suffering is your future. I mean, that's not a place that you want to be at. And yet so many people live their life just consumed and controlled by sin and sinful things in our lives. And God says, I want to take you from that, and I'm going to transfer you to something else. And what he wants to transfer us to is the kingdom of his son, the kingdom of Jesus. Well, what in the world is the kingdom of Jesus? Well, it's where Jesus is in charge, where he rules. And even more specifically than that, the kingdom of Jesus is where God's will is actually happening, where God's will is being carried out. What the Bible is pretty much saying is that Jesus, who is the Son of God, who's the second person of the Trinity, his kingdom is happening when God's will is actually happening. Well, what in the world is God's will? What is God's will for your life? That's a big question that we have a lot of times. What is God's will for your life? It's simply this, for you to be saved, okay? I mean, you can't make it any more simple than that. God's will for your life is to be saved. How do we know that? Because of the very next verse. Verse 14 says, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus got on the cross, he died for you to pay for your sins, and he offers forgiveness for you. That's God's will for your life. Well, we jump into verse 16. Verse 16 kind of brings us back to the song that we've been singing, and maybe you'll catch some of the words that are in the song, King of Heaven. Here's what verse 16 says. For everything was created by him, in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. This is exactly what the song that we've been singing is about. In fact, I want to put the chorus up on the screen here. The chorus says, all things are through you and for you. We live to worship and adore you, King of Heaven. All things are through you and for you. This is exactly what Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says. It says, because all things are created through you and for you, look, now we can actually, because of that, we can live to worship and adore you because you're the King of Heaven. And so here's what I'd like to do today. I want to just kind of focus a little bit about this song and how it points us to Scripture and gives us some this isn't the only reasons, but I want to look at just three ways and reasons why we live to worship and adore Jesus. The first is this, it's because of his authority. In fact, the Bible just talked about his authority, that he is creator. In fact, the Bible says that he is the King of Kings. What does it mean to be the King of Kings? To be the King of Kings means that you have absolute, unquestionable authority. He is in charge of everything. There's no one higher than him. That's what the Bible talks about. In fact, it's not just a New Testament thing. If you go to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel, the prophet, he was prophesying hundreds of years before Jesus was to be on this earth. And here's what he said in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. He said, I continued watching in the night visions. He's having this vision that God's giving him. Here's what he sees. And suddenly, one like a son of man. What is the son of man? Son of man is an Old Testament term for the Messiah who's about to come, okay? The son of man. Suddenly, one like a son of man was coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is God the Father. And was escorted before him. He was given, get this, the son of man was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. So that those of every people, nation, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And get this, his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is what Jesus' authority is. That's a great description of who he is. He is the King of Kings. In fact, if you fast forward all the way to the book of Revelations, John gets another vision of Jesus coming back in his glory someday. In Revelations chapter 19, verse 16, it says that on his thigh, he has the name King of Kings, which is pretty awesome that Jesus has this name that is written on his thigh. He is truly the King of Kings. Look, every one of us, we're going to give our allegiance to something, you know? Every single one of us is going to worship something in this life. In fact, we do that every single day. Whether you're religious or not, it's in your DNA to give your allegiance and your worship to something. Let me ask this. Shouldn't it actually be towards the one who deserves it? He is the one who deserves our worship. Because of his authority, he is the King of Kings. And that's not the only reason. There's a second reason we live to worship and adore Jesus. And it's because of his attitude. It's because of his attitude. He is the humble servant. He has come and done something for us on our behalf in humility. In fact, Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus says this himself. He says, the Son of Man, there's the Son of Man again, talking about the Messiah himself. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. He is the only one in human history who has the right to have everybody serve him. For him to be on his throne in a place of honor and privilege and everybody do things for him. He's the only one in human history who has the right to do that. And yet he doesn't do that. Instead, he flips everything up. It's upside down. And he himself comes in as a humble servant to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. And the greatest way that he came to serve us was to die for us. To pay the ultimate price for us. Look, that's worthy of worship, isn't it? What he has done for us is worthy of worship. But also, it's an attitude. His attitude should be something that we should want to copy. God says, hey, look, I've done this for you. Now be like me. In fact, Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, here's what the Bible says. It says that he emptied himself, talking about Jesus, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant. Okay, not just the King of Kings, but he's also a servant at the exact same time, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. The ultimate way that Jesus shows us humility was by himself getting up on the cross. The cross that he didn't deserve. It's your cross. And he got up on it to show his humility, to serve you. That's his attitude towards you. Look, he has showed us the attitude we should have. He showed it to us first and said, you need to have this same attitude. But also, Jesus also showed us one other thing. It's his love. He showed us first his love towards us, which is the third reason we should live to worship and adore him. It's because of his affection, okay? His affection towards us. He is a loving Savior. So we have his authority. He is the King of Kings. We have his attitude. He is the humble servant. But we also see his affection towards us. He is a loving Savior. Look, even though it cost him everything, and even though you and I don't deserve any of it, he still acted on our behalf. He acted based off of our best interest in his mind. He acted towards us in this way to meet our greatest need. That's how much he loves us. Even though we didn't deserve it, okay? Even though he didn't owe us anything, he still loved us first. You know, this past week I had a chance to, about once a year, I get away for an entire week all by myself and I just do sermon prep. I know it sounds kind of boring, but that's what I do. One of my biggest fears is to wake up on Monday morning or, in fact, to show up at church on Sunday morning and go, what am I preaching on? Like, not knowing that at all. And so I try to get ahead. And so this past week, I got to go to a lake house and just stay by myself and just pray and read scripture and books and just prepare the next like about 20-something sermons all the way through like the end of August. Okay, I can't preach them right now, but it's got like basic outlines of what we're going to go and the path we're going to go. And so I was going through it. It was awesome. Spending time with the Lord. It was great. And I did something, I just got to confess, it was just not very manly. Okay. I started watching birds. I was bird watching. I got some binoculars out and I'm just watching these birds. And all by myself, I'm like, this is not very manly, Clayton. Don't tell anybody. And here I am, right? I just tell everybody. It's online now, okay? I'm just bird watching. But here's the deal. I was watching seagulls and they were diving into the water and catching fish. They were murdering fish. So that's kind of manly, okay? So I was watching these birds. It's just awesome. I was just sitting there watching them just dive bombing these fish and coming up out of the water, the fish. It was really, really cool to be able to see them how God created them to be that way. And I was just thinking about this. Like in our lives, we got everything. I'm sitting up on this bluff overlooking the water in this awesome lake house. I'm like, I've got everything I need, right? And we're so incredibly blessed. And what would happen if all of that was stripped away? Would God still meet your basic needs? Would God still meet the actual needs, the true needs that you have in your heart and for your life? You know, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus actually says, hey, look at the birds of the air. I mean, they aren't farmers. They don't have great plans. They don't have a life goals, okay? They don't store up all this food in barns to prepare for the future. They just live every single day the way God created them to live. And God takes care of them. And he says, don't you think that God loves you more than the birds? Why are you so worried? God is taking care of you. He is meeting your needs. The need that you need most in this life. You want to know what it is? You want to know what that need actually is? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this. But God proved his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest need you have in your life is God's love. Every single one of us needs that. In fact, if you look at your life, if you look at other people you know, every single one of us chases after love every day. We chase after false loves, things we think that are going to fulfill us, and they never do, because deep down inside, we want and we need God's love. And God says, here, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you will do, that can never be broken. God's love for you can never be broken. How do we know it? Well, later on in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, Paul says, look, what can separate us from the love of God? What can separate you from God's love for you? Is there something you can do to separate yourself from that? And he begins to list all of these incredibly powerful things here on this earth and in heaven. All of these rulers and authorities, can any of those things that are way more powerful than you, can they separate you from God's love? And the answer is no. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Why do I say that? Why do I tell you that? Why is this just a very simple message? Because that's why we worship him. We worship Jesus because of that, what he has done for us. That's why we can sing some lyrics that are in the song King of Heaven like this. Like, this is our offering. We lay it down at your feet. May I only bring what's costly. Look, because of who Jesus is, we can come to him and say, look, because of what you've done, I am going to give you this offering. And I'm going to bow at your feet because of what you've done for me. May I only bring back to you what is costly. May I not just give you some of my devotion. May I give you all of my devotion. Because here's the truth, guys. Jesus is worthy of it all, right? He's worthy of all of our worship. And so we can sing things like, I give you anything. Because you gave everything. He gave everything to us. And ultimately, he gave us his life. And so we, in turn, should be able to give him anything that he requires of us. And what does he require of us? He says, look, I want your life too. I've given you my life. I want your life in return. And I'll take it and I'll change it and make it so much better than you can ever imagine. Look, you can say a lot of things about a lot of people. You can cut people down. You can complain about people. You can give people positions in your life. You can call them mom or dad or friend or anything like that. But look, we reserve one title for Jesus. He is the King of Kings who gave everything to us. He's done all of that for us. And so we should in turn be able to sing about that, right? Here's a question for you. If he's the King of Kings, is he your king? For you personally in your life, is he the King of Kings? Have you given him everything? Have you given him your life? Have you trusted in him to be your Lord and Savior? That is the question for today. Have you done that? Look, if you have, you know what you should do? You should sing about it, okay? You should sing about it. I don't know. Many of you, you're like, Clayton, I'm just not a good singer. Guys, I'm a terrible singer. Like, I can't keep a tune. If I'm standing next to you, I'm going to mess you up. I'm just promise you, I can't sing. I can't sing like the people up here. They're very talented, all those kind of things. But it doesn't matter. They're not the only people that should worship. We should all worship because of what Jesus has done for us. Look, worship songs are powerful, aren't they? They're powerful, and they ought to move us into God's presence. And God gave us songs, okay? But he also gave us emotions. And I love things about worship because they're kind of both of those things together. Sometimes the songs that we sing, they're vertical to God, okay? So you're singing towards God in worship. But also sometimes the songs we sing are horizontal. They are sung so that other people can hear them or we can be encouraged by them. But they are in worship to God. And a good worship song is when we take truth from Scripture and we sing it with emotion. Okay? That's what worship is. That's why it's different than just reading God's word. Now, reading God's word is one form of worship, but when we specifically talk about singing, it's when we take truths from Scripture, not things outside of Scripture, not what we want to sing about, not something that just makes us happy or whatever, not something about us, but we take things about Jesus and who he is from Scripture, and we take that and we put our hearts behind it. That's what worship is. That's what worship is. And I love that we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait to go 3 times a year like the people, God's people did way back then. They had to wait to be able to go and to be in God's presence and to worship him. We don't have to do that. In fact, every day, if you're a child of God, every day you can go and you can worship Jesus no matter where you're at or what you're doing. But I love that he also gave us the church. The church, God's people, we're not supposed to be by ourselves. He gave us each other so that we can come together. And together, we can worship Jesus for who he is and what he has done. Look, he is worthy. He is worthy of worship. Let me ask you, will you worship him? Will you truly worship Jesus for what he has done for you? In fact, I want to invite you to stand to your feet. We're going to do something a little bit different. I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. The way we're going to end this service is we're going to go back and we're going to sing this song again. I want you to think about the lyrics. I want you to think about what it's talking about in the book of Colossians. It's taking truth from Scripture and God saying, I want you to express that back to me with your heart, with emotion, with feeling. God's worthy of our worship. Will you worship him? No matter what's going on in your life, we lay those things at his feet and say, look, I'm coming to you because of who you are. I want to worship you right now. Let's sing.
This is our offering, given wholeheartedly. Without hesitation, we come. You dwell upon our praise. Your spirit is in this place. Without hesitation, you come. And where could we flee from your presence, and how could we hide from your light? And all things are through you and for you. We live to worship and adore you, King of This is our offering. Lay it down at your feet. May I only bring what's costly. And where could we flee from your presence? And how could we hide from your light? And all things are through and adore you, King of heaven. I'll give you anything, 'cause you're all things are through you.